Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Sports Mappers, welcome to the fray on a Wednesday here on The Usual Suspects. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride. And as we always remind you about this time, if you missed the 2 hours of the show that you were out frolicking on 94.1 or other stations, go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab, and catch up on the first 2 hours that you missed. And if you're suspects, they will tell you. While you're there on the website, ESPN975.com, you can also download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere, and never be without the suspects, the bench, the blitz, John, Raheel and Dell, Soccer Matters, Patrick Creighton Show, whatever that's called.
In Wheel Time. I don't even know that still run.
I think it is.
Okay. Yeah. In Wheel Time.
Which car guy has the Harold Gunn has the
Automotive Reporter.
But he's got the voice. Because when he does the promo, Harold Gunn here with every Saturday, you can catch my show.
Certainly like a you know, don't mean to call him old, but a more of a traditional radio broadcaster, if you will.
So you called him old.
Okay.
But the good thing about Harold is he doesn't have that button on all the time. When he's in the hallways, he doesn't sound that way.
Yeah, he knows when to turn it on.
Correct.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Kevin Joseph on Twitter said, Barry, go check the Deadskins record before Smith got hurt. 6-2 or 6-3, Pac-Man Joel is right.
The Deadskins?
Yeah.
I'm suggesting,
are you saying you would rather have Alex Smith over Kirk Cousins? And I did go check their record. And do you want to know that you want to hear their wins on that 6-3 run? Cardinals, Packers, Panthers, Cowboys, Giants, Bucks. Boy, just slaying all the monsters in the NFL. Their losses, Colts, Saints, Falcons. So when they play good teams, they lost.
So that's like saying a team can win 9 in a row and not play anybody decent. So what? Well, you play your schedule.
When they play good teams, they lost. When they played bad teams, they won. And I don't mean to take a shot at your Packers.
Oh, I felt that.
They're lumped
I felt
in
the
there.
Emphasis on the it. P when you said that. And believe me, they crapped the bed there.
Yeah, well, it would have been interesting to see how they played against the rest of their schedule and him. And I tried to look up his numbers.
Because it was division heavy at late in the season, that schedule. They would have had to play the Cowboys and the Eagles, I want to say each team maybe twice.
So he had, his best game was 306 yards passing against Atlanta. Which,
see, their defense you sold that very well against
garbage.
Atlanta. Atlanta.
I mean, these are his passing yards, all right? Just yards against the schedule I just told you.
So you're taking Cousins clearly over Smith.
Absolutely. Listen to these numbers. 255, 292, 220, 275, 163, 178, 178, 306, 178, 135 when he got hurt against Houston. I mean, dude threw up 3 178 passing yard games.
So again, but you can factor in other things, like the fact that he didn't have 2 all-pro wide receivers to throw to.
Okay.
He didn't have a running game. Adrian Peterson
Adam
was
Thielen,
okay.
Adam
but
Thielen
you got,
wasn't Adam Thielen before this year.
You got Dalvin Cook, and you've got Murray, and you've got weapons, and you got a good offensive line in Minnesota. Washington was kind of a crap show that he was keeping afloat, in my opinion.
Okay. I mean, you know, Thielen had a hell of a season. Who was throwing him the ball? And where was that before?
But I'm saying you can't double if you double team one, the other one's open, because with Diggs and Thielen, you got all-world talent on the outside, whereas the Redskins got Pierre Garcon.
I guess we're going to disagree.
That never happens.
No.
Okay. So, I mean, who do you got, Nick? Alex Smith or Kirk Cousins?
If you had to take one for your franchise, to be your franchise QB, who are you taking?
Pre the injury, probably Alex Smith.
Okay. Well, you guys can be loser franchises.
Yeah.
That's fine. Just have loser franchises.
Wait, who's gone farther in the playoffs, Alex Smith or Kirk Cousins?
I mean, I don't know.
All right. Well, we can continue to agree to disagree. Brandon wants to get in here on NFL coaching hires. Let's hear what this is all about. Brandon, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So I made a New Year's resolution not to pull a Harden and hold the ball till the end of the shot clock and just get my question out. So if you're coming into a new franchise, like let's take Bruce Arians, for example, and would you rather bring in your own guys on your coaching staff, or would you just try and build around what is already there?
Appreciate the
call.
I'll
hang up and
yeah,
listen.
Thanks, man. I'm bringing in my guys. If my job's on the line, I want to pick.
It also
I'm picking
dictates,
who I'm getting fired with.
I think everybody wants to bring in their own guys, but it also depends on the dynamic of the front office and how much control they want. So it kind of depends, but I think most people want to be able to bring in their own quarterback's coach, their own O-line coach, their own offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. They want to bring in their own guys. I think 90% of them,
yeah,
at least.
So this goes back to our conversation yesterday, because I had also referenced when McHale and Kelvin Sampson were finalists for the Rockets job. McHale got it, but they told him he would be forced to take Sampson as one of his assistants. And then you and I kind of turned the page, got into the Texans and said, but Bill O'Brien's not going to take just anybody off the street that they say to take as a coordinator. Because the thing is, everybody talks about, hey, in a locker room in any sport, there's got to be chemistry and there's got to be trust and there's got to be, you know, everybody's got each other's backs. Well, the same thing in coaching, because I talked to other coaches in the league that said, if that's me and I get a head job and you're telling me who I got to take, I'm telling you to take the job and shove it until, because at the end of the day, there were a lot of coaches that found out, hey, the star players, they're trying to attach themselves to them, or say, hey, because this team is kind of could go either way, could be a playoff team, could be a lottery team. If they go lottery and the ownership decides to make a change, hey, I'm sitting right where I need to be. They'll put me in the interim job. If I get the thing going and I got the best player on the team in my back pocket, I can get this gig and keep it long term and reap the benefits if this guy fails. You got to have that trust in the coaching staff too. And I think that that's what's key. That's going to be interesting because, you know, there's a couple situations now where they've said, in Green Bay too, they wanted to keep Mike Pettine as their D coordinator. So one of the things that attracted them to LaFleur was the fact that he also was in agreement that they would keep Pettine. Kubiak staying with Fangio in Denver. It's going to be, I think that's a big deal.
If I'm going to get fired, I want to get fired with the people I chose. I don't want to, you can't tell me here, because everybody's getting fired in this business. Everybody gets fired. And if I'm going to go out like that, then I want it to be, I choose who I'm getting fired with, not here, you take all these people and then, hey, this all sucks, you're all out of here. No, I don't.
Maybe depending on how much leverage you have, if this is your first time being a head coach in the NFL, perhaps an ideal situation for you is to come in and hopefully become the most likable and the best possible head coach you can. You know, develop a reputation, because players will talk about what they think about their head coach.
Oh God, they will.
And it's not an internet reputation. It's a reputation among NFL players. And so if you become a likable guy, maybe you that next opportunity, you can kind of make those demands and say, hey, yeah, I want this guy to be my offensive coordinator, and I want my own coaching staff and whatever the case may be. So it really depends on how much leverage you have, your resume, how much they believe in you, how much the owner and a general manager believes in you.
So
a lot of
variables. Here's the really interesting one, too, right now, as I go back to the Arizona deal with Kingsbury. Because here's a guy that better get some coaches with NFL head coaching experience, because it's so different in terms of calling all the shots, being in charge of everything from the practice schedule. And we were talking about the schemes, the different position groups, all those different things. And he's coming in bare ass naked in terms of NFL experience. So you either hope that he has some NFL relationships built with coaches that have coached in the NFL, or he better be okay with, I don't know this guy, but I'll trust this guy kind of mentality, because he's going to have some guys that have experienced NFL coaching.
Yeah, if he's smart, he'll add some guys to that staff that he trusts that have experience. Because that's the one thing you want, is a guy to get in your ear and go, hey, look, in the past, this is how I handled it. You don't have to, but this is advice. I mean, it's almost like the president. You have a cabinet. Your coaches that work under you is your cabinet. They're your counsel. And they're there to advise you and tell you what to do, and you put trust in them to do certain things. You better have some qualified guys that have been there, done that before. It can't be a complete staff of guys that have no idea what they're doing.
Go back to Hard Knocks. Remember what happened early in the season? Was Hugh Jackson was like trying to get control, trying to do things differently. And Tyrod Taylor came up and said, Coach, You need to videotape everything, and you need to start calling out the guys that aren't doing it the way you said you're going to do it for more continuity and more structure.
Mm-hmm.
And you, yeah, from a coaching's perspective, that's why you take that times 100. Every day you're going to need a coach that said, when I was in this position in the NFL, we did it this way. And another coach that says, hey, if you really want to keep these guys, you know, on time or in a rhythm or in tempo, then in practice, you got to have the whistle blowing. You got to have the clock on them. You got to have these things. Otherwise, he's going to be in over his head before he even starts.
Yeah. I'm surprised at the hire, and I'm surprised, you know, we had the bet about how many retreads there would be. I'm surprised that there's this much risk-taking going on in the NFL. It's not like the NFL to do that. I mean, it's good in a way. You get some fresh faces in the coaching ranks, and maybe some guys get some opportunities, and the game becomes more fun. Younger guys, younger offenses, more fun. Just surprised that they would take the risks like this.
Because how many jobs we got still got open? We got Miami,
so
Cincinnati.
We're talking about six vacancies. Five of
them have been.
I think eight. There's eight total.
There was
now.
Eight vacancies. Yeah. Six
of
them.
Because
my
six that we were
was
talking
six.
About.
No, there was eight.
Eight.
My answer was six.
Right.
Six
yeah.
would be
yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Yep.
And because
I said four.
So Bruce Arians is the one, right? The right. him going
so
to Tampa, which Trevor G asked, "What do you guys think about the fit there?" I would be worried as a coach if that was my quarterback and my quarterback situation. I don't know if I would want Jameis Winston being my guy.
Well, he's a guy that they've called the quarterback whisperer, and they're saying that if there's anybody that can get Jameis on the right path, it's Bruce Arians. But that's old school meeting new school.
You know what? They said the same thing about Bill O'Brien and David
Carr.
Well,
but I'm saying, but Bill O'Brien,
or Matt
aside
Schaub,
from Tom Brady, but yeah. when you look at who Bruce Arians has made into better than average quarterbacks, when you look at Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer and Peyton Manning and the guys he's worked with and Ben Roethlisberger, so he's got the resume to back it up, not Christian Hackenberg and a whole lot of time with Tom Brady.
Yeah, but all those other guys were good quarterbacks anyways, right? I mean, they've been good quarterbacks since he's not been there.
But Jameis has the skills. It's just it's managing his own skill set.
It's managing his head. He's a head
exactly
case.
Right.
That's his problem, I think. But yeah,
I'll give him credit for this too, because he got his old D coordinator from the Cardinals with him and Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
So that immediately knows
Smart.
He can rest assured defense is taken care of.
Right.
Now I got to worry about this offense.
And Trevor said, "How do you register for the weight loss challenge? You text your name and your email address 713-780-3776. That'll get you registered."
There you go.
Mandy said, "Hey, heck yeah for doing the challenge again. 130 pounds down from the start of the challenge last year. She's
How
lost
much?
130 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
You talk
goodness.
About success stories from this Usual Suspects weight loss challenge year one. There's hands down, it's Mandy.
Way to go,
like,
man.
She's lost 130 pounds. She said, "I hope it makes a life change. I hope it makes a life changing in at least one other person. You guys are awesome." So Mandy's in again. Mandy, send us your email. And we'll make sure you get included.
Because we know Chris Householder
How
and
awesome.
Mark Schell, and there's a lot of people that already
pounds.
Signed up. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That is life-changing.
Congrats, Mandy.
That's great. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Final hour of the show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. That's the number Barry just gave you if you want to text to get involved in the weight loss challenge, or you text the show, or you call the show, or you hit us up on Twitter. Before we hit the break, I want to tell you one more time about the good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pestikoff, his staff, do a fantastic job. They're locally owned and operated, so you're not going to get that big store mentality of nothing but automated systems and you know, you get to run around and just pick a plan and let's go. They're actually going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business? Is it for your home and your family? And go from there so that they can tailor make a program and get a rate just for your specific situation. They're fantastic at doing all that, but I speak from experience because I switched over a year ago. I've saved thousands off of my bill of a year before because of the fact that they do exactly what they say they're going to do. They're going to give you a great rate. It's fitted for you. It's structured so that it absolutely is tailor-made to your needs and your usage. And because of it, you'll reap the benefits with lower bills month to month. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Whether you log on to InfuseEnergy.com or call them at 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. They're going to take care of you. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, $25 bill credit right off the top. But take it from me, gang. Infuse energy into your life.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the show, ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1, Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, Joel, Wednesday. As we were talking NFL, one last piece of business, which I thought was completely just absurd. I'm not going to give the guy love by giving his Twitter handle out, because I think part of this was done just for this very reason, to get attention to it. But Deshaun Watson, as we all know, after the Texans lost, a Clemson alum, made his way to the national championship game. So did DeAndre Hopkins, who also went to Clemson. And they were there. Actually, Deshaun was an honorary captain for Clemson. And they were obviously on social media to, you know, talk about their experience and also show their happiness. People started ripping him. I mean, I just think it's so undeserved and just ridiculous. But the way that they positioned what they said, too, was like, I mean, you don't know, you've never been there, but how in the world are you going to make the statements that you make? The first guy who really got a lot of hate was basically said that essentially Deshaun Watson is on track to be the Dwight Howard of the NFL. You're celebrating 3 days after losing to the Colts as the starting quarterback. The pain of a loss in the playoffs can't go away that quickly. There's something wrong with this picture. And he went on to say after people started killing him, look, if that's me, I'm in the gym right after it, and I'm working hard. You don't know if this I'm sure he's still working out. He may be doing whatever he's doing, and you don't know. But why is it your place to criticize a guy who went to Clemson, who's maybe blowing off some steam, or maybe just that's how much passion he has for Clemson?
Dude, him going to the game isn't going to change the loss. Unless there was a time machine at the national championship that could have hopped in and went back to the game before it started, that's not changing the loss. The fact of the matter is, this dude is an attention whore, and all he wanted was the attention and the clicks. And you know how I know? As all you have to do is look at his bio. He talks about he's got 1 million subs on YouTube, 1 billion minutes watched. Kiss my ass, attention whore. If you are talking about how many billions of minutes you have on your YouTube and your Twitter bio, you're an attention whore, and you're just out there doing stuff like this to get clicks and to get pub.
Are we over the era of being angry at players for not being angry? Why do you guys want these people to be angry? Now, I get, like, see, with Dwight Howard, when I think of Dwight Howard, it did bother me a little bit after a loss. And he's like, yeah, and I got a big smile on my face, and we're going to have fun. It did bother me a little bit as a Rockets fan. But when I think of Dwight Howard, I think when he says he's going to be the Dwight Howard of the NFL, I think there's two problems. One, obviously, from a mental standpoint, he just wasn't as mature as you would like him to be. And B, he was dealing with injuries that was clearly plaguing his play. Like, he was not the same Dwight Howard. The injury aspect, I can kind of get for Deshaun Watson, but Deshaun Watson hasn't shown a personality so far that he's trending anything like towards a Dwight Howard.
It's just silly. Like, it's just this dude reaching to, I mean, you've got a guy whose alma mater is in the national championship game. Yep. And his season is over with. If you want to be mad if he did this with a game coming up next week. Be mad that he went on the road and did it when, you've got to play Saturday or Sunday. What the hell are you doing out there? You should be at home studying and watching film. And his season's over with, bro. Mind your own business.
Your backup point to that would be the Giants receivers shirtless on a boat the week you got a playoff game.
Exactly.
Then be mad.
Stupid.
But it's over. And then the hate just continued. Then you got a guy that obviously, again, kind of like you guys were saying with the first guy, this guy is a radio host in Nashville. And he tweets out, I know I'm going to sound like an old pawpaw, but seriously, Deshaun Watson is a starting quarterback in the NFL and he couldn't dress better? You're not a corner or a wide receiver. You're a QB. You're a brand. First of all, did you see what Nuke Hopkins was wearing? He's a receiver. Who cares? And by the way, Watson decided to respond. And he said, LMAO, my brand is pretty solid. And in all caps, he put the guy's name and said, I think I was very comfortable and chill to cheer on my university. Get off his ass.
Well, apparently he was wearing that sweatshirt he was wearing.
The purple one?
Was very expensive.
Oh, I'm sure it
was. I don't know the name, but it's like a name brand. Really expensive. So this guy's just a dumbass. I mean, again, it's just... why are you taking runs at this guy who's done nothing to nobody? He's not. He minds his own business. All he did was go and cheer on his school. He is a millionaire quarterback in the NFL who just had an outstanding second season coming off of a horrific injury where he got his team to the playoffs after starting 0-3. And yeah, he sucked in the last game, and I'm sure he'll be better for it. Leave this man alone and let him live his life. Good Lord. People, the pettiness that these people have, yes, and the stuff that they'll go through just to get a click or a mention or a like, it's shameful. It really is shameful.
I mean, and that's the thing, too. I mean, you look at everything that he's been through, and it's like, just get off. If you want to be get off my lawn guy, but I'm glad that a lot of people have come to his defense and attacked, because the one thing that I thought was bad was he actually responded. You're above that, bro. I mean, you know, we've seen him and the honey badger.
People would say the same thing about us. No.
Well, but we're not them either, right?
Well, the reality is, let's say someone takes a shot at Deshaun Watson and that tweet gets like 2 or 3 likes. Deshaun Watson may not even see it. But this guy is verified on Twitter. He's been in the industry. Obviously, he has a following, whether you believe you should follow him or not. And he got the likes and the retweets. And so it probably popped up on his timeline. And it's like, well, this is getting run. I feel like I have to respond. Yeah. Isn't that... Like, when we get 10 or 15, like, that's what made me go off on my meltdown. It wasn't the first time someone called me that on the text line. It was, like, the 20th time, yeah, you know?
Well, you are kind of a dick, so.
Well, you are too, sir. But I will say this. I will say this. If you can handle that accumulation, then, yeah, you may not respond. But I think most of us are human.
By the way, I'm looking at this dude's timeline, mm-hmm, and the clothes that he wears.
Which guy?
The guy that made the comment about what Deshaun wants. Dude, you need to shut the hell up. People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. You dress like a dork. You're out here capping on this dude for wearing an expensive-ass sweatshirt. I don't know. You have to be a virgin. I mean, this dude is literally rocking a Ken Bone sweater and collared shirt, holding a Pepsi. Bro, like, you've never felt the sensual touch of a woman. I just can see that. Get out of here.
I see him here in the Forever 21.
No, that's sexy. Okay. Don't talk about them like that.
Well, you know.
Yeah,
this dude. Yeah, I was annoyed by that. I know that Nick had seen it, and I wanted to respond, and I was like, no, this guy's just getting more run with every response or people asking to be on shows or whatever they are, because you look at both of them. And the other thing I didn't like was position by position, like it should matter. Everybody's a brand every single day, from the time you leave the house to the time you get home at night. It doesn't matter what position you play or what you do, but it's your own business.
Yeah, this man's off the clock. Why are you worried about what he does? Y'all leave him alone.
By the way, his watch was, I don't know if it was frozen, but there was enough ice on that bad boy to stay cool all year. That was a large piece of jewelry.
There you go.
I will say that.
There you go.
Yeah. Did you also see, by the way, which I love, college football coaches are getting together and they have commented they want to see the targeting rule split into two categories so they could determine whether it was delivered with the crown, with malicious intent, or more so to the movement of the official. I'm totally for that. I hate this ejections on the first call when you got a guy going across the middle and he jumps
what
or whatever.
What was this now?
So in college football, the targeting rule.
Yes.
The minute they determine that you went crown to the helmet on or you made contact with the helmet, you're thrown out.
Right.
The coaches themselves now want to get involved and say, we want it split into two categories. If you can tell that it was malicious intent and the guy intentionally led with his helmet to do damage, or you know, to go helmet with helmet, then you can be thrown out. But to separate and say, look, if a guy's going across the middle and he jumps and the guy's already moving so fast he can't change his direction and they hit, you get the penalty, you just don't get thrown out.
Yeah, because a lot of times these guys are going for a tackle and they're in the right position and the guy either ducks.
Yep, that's what I mean.
Or moves. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm good with that. That would be a great rule change for college football. One thing the NCAA may get right as we start the new year. That'd be a good way to start.
Yeah.
All right, 30 minutes to go on the big show. We're still going to keep rolling along. If you want to join us, please do so, 713-780-3776, where you can join us via the text, the phone call, and or you can hit us up on Twitter. Before we get to the break, though, I do want to tell you about one more time about PXG Golf. I've been telling you about them for a while now. If you haven't heard about them and you're a golfer, you need to figure it out and get onto PXG.com and check them out, because PXG has taken some of the top golf club engineers from all over and got them all under one roof, under one label of PXG, and created a golf club that's going to have you hitting it farther with a launch angle that's higher, and you're going to get more forgiveness and accuracy than any club you've ever had in your bag. And the reviews are saying the exact same thing. The tour pros are jumping on board. So are the club pros. Why? Well, because they live up to the hype. And the PXG clubs that are out there have won on every major tour around the globe and even a college national championship. So what are you waiting for? You could be next in line to step up your game and enjoy golf more than ever before. All you got to do is schedule a fitting at the Club of Carlton Woods right here in the Woodlands, right on the outskirts of Houston, Texas. You don't have to travel anywhere out of the country, take a plane, go to a headquarters right here at Carlton Woods in the Woodlands. All you got to do to set up a fitting, call 844-PLAY-PXG. 844-PLAY-PXG, or you just visit pxg.com to book your custom fitting. PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, period.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Fellas, a couple of things getting back to conversations we've already had. Matt LaFleur, as introduced as the new Green Bay Packers coach, says, "I absolutely intend on calling plays." And here's the kicker. "That's why it's so important for me to hire quality people around me." That gets back to why we said it's tough when the organization decides who one of your coaches is going to be, because it affects the overall way, the flow and the system and the structure and everything else. And then, God, just devastating news. I just read this, and I hate to be a downer, but Chargers defensive tackle and captain Brandon Mebane says his daughter passed away last Thursday, born prematurely on November the 12th with a rare heart defect.
Damn.
That is just brutal. Yeah, you're supposed to be getting ready for the biggest game of your season and maybe your life.
Terrible.
And you're dealing with that? Shout prayers out to the family, man. That's terrible. Yeah, man.
That sucks. A couple things from the text line. AR Platinum said, "Barry, when are you going to do a road show from Lakewood Church? I want to show up for that one." He blocked me on Twitter. I'm guessing he's not going to let me do a show.
You're probably banned from the property.
You think?
Something tells me that if there's ever a chance that the doors will be locked up tighter than they were during the hurricane,
it would be if I at one of my shows.
Well, if he blocked you, he better have blocked Salisbury, because when the flood was going down,
he hit the video.
He called his
You don't
ass
think Sean isn't blocked?
Out.
Joel Osteen has blocked a lot of people, which I was thinking about that today. If Jesus had a Twitter, he's not blocking people. Jesus was all about followers. He wanted as many followers as he could have. He's going to be the complete opposite of blocking people. Even if you didn't agree with him, you know what? He'd be like, "Satan wants to follow me. That's fine. Whatever. I have 40 days in the forest. No biggie."
Well, if you ask him about it, he'll just close his eyes and say, "Hey, I got a social media guy that handles all that." You know,
is that what he said? By
Talk
the way,
to Paul.
Because the one thing Paul's
my Twitter guy.
I don't remember the resolution, but there was a time not in the last year or two where, based on social media and other things, they were saying that Joel Osteen came out and posted some things about how he really didn't believe in the afterlife and God and all these other things.
Oh, I doubt that.
And they were going back and forth. And I don't know if he even said, "I have an internet guy" at that time. But I remember it was like on the news. And then all of a sudden it just went away.
Yeah. He probably either got hacked or trolled or something.
Either that or used some of the funds to pay off some people like R. Kelly.
Yeah.
I saw you were tweeting. Did you watch all of it?
I'm up to the middle of the third episode. Almost done with the third episode.
So you got five total.
Is it five or six?
Five total, I believe.
I know I'm on episode three, and it's bad.
And here's the thing.
Is it?
Because of this docuseries, yesterday in Illinois, the state of Illinois and Cook County for the city of Chicago has opened an investigation to try and bring charges up based on the documentary and getting the witnesses to testify from the documentary. So this thing, and I said to Lisa, that is all that document. There's no doubt about it. Because it was so highly rated and everything like that, He ain't out of the water yet.
No.
I mean, and if that comes up, then that's obviously going to be a huge issue. But at this point, you're not going to change your reputation, you know? Like, you should be thankful that you have longevity in your career. Guys like Bill Cosby, everything just shut down. Louis C.K., I mean, I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but their careers literally stopped. Like, your career actually kept going. People respected your music.
Louis C.K. is back performing.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, there was a couple of club owners that refused to let him perform there, though.
Yeah, there was a lot
but
of...
he's back doing...
He was shut down probably for a year and a half or 2 years. He should be thankful.
Yeah, and his material now kind of sucks. Like, he became the grumpy old man. He's like, these kids today and their music, I don't understand this hippity hop. Like, it sucks.
Because he can't be as...
edgy. Well, he's more like, more, you know, shifted. He was always very left-wing... liberal, and it seems like he's moved more towards the conservative right-wing side of things and views, and kind of an old man doing comedy now. It's weird.
From an R. Kelly standpoint, you realize why he's touring, too, because he needs to keep making the money to pay off. He has paid off so many people.
Dude, it ain't cheap to run a sex dungeon.
And to keep their mouths shut.
Sex dungeons are expensive. You got all the overhead and the underhead, and you've got a lot of stuff that you've got to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. When you consider the number of victims, and I don't want to spoil to anything, but it's been in previews, I've seen it, mm-hmm. but going around to malls to pick up underage girls when you know you're a... How weak are you, bro? To pick up high school girls?
That's one thing, but as underage kids were standing there at the trial on the stairs of the courthouse, he was eyeing them up to try and hit on them? That's
ridiculous.
So, you know about the Drake thing, right? While he was on stage, and you didn't hear about
the
this?
Curse, the Alabama,
is this
the
curse, yeah, the NCAA thing.
No,
oh,
not
you're
the
talking
curse.
About, you mentioned it the other
so
day.
He's
the
on
17
stage.
Year old.
Yeah, he was on stage. He brings a girl on stage. He starts kissing on her and hugging on her. And then
oh,
he's
the
like, how old are you? She's like, I'm 17.
Yeah.
That was in Denver 8 years ago.
Right.
That was not a recent thing I found out. But somebody, Earthquake, and then my friend of mine, Eric Green, a comedian, local comedian, it reposted a thing from Earthquake. It is a map. The age of consent in each state. Can I tell you how many states are 16?
Michigan's one of them, and I know.
I was absolutely stunned. Now, a lot of them are in the South, but a lot of them are out East as well. But did you know that the age of consent in Texas is 17 and not 18?
I did not.
Nick, did you know this?
In Texas?
You could be out here banging 17-year-olds.
Yeah, in Texas, I did know that.
The age of consent is 17. The age of consent in Colorado, where Drake was mm-hmm. at the time, 17.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's
it
a
just
lot
seems 18. Weird and creepy, but apparently he did nothing wrong. Cali, 18. A lot of southern states, like I said, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, like... Most of the southern states are 16. Midwest, a lot
That's
of them are 16.
Ridiculous.
There are more states in this country where the age of consent is 16 than any other age.
I would hope that this documentary not only but does what it did you. To go back after R. Kelly, but maybe changes some of that.
Washington, state of Washington, 16 years old. So if R. Kelly goes to Seattle uh-huh. and he's performing and he goes to the mall and he's like, hey, who wants to bang R. Kelly? Anybody here want to get peed on? And some 16-year-old girl's like, I do. He's like, let's go. You know what? Totally legal.
Congratulations on me!
How creepy is that? You can pick up a 16-year-old at a mall, take him home, and have sex with him, and no one can say anything as long as she consented to it. That just feels really creepy
That's
to me.
Awful.
I told my wife that. I was like, did you know all these states at 16? She goes, that's about right. I mean, you're an adult. You know what you're doing at 16.
No.
Do you really?
What? I disagree. No. I don't know. I feel like 18.
Even 18, like, dude. Like
18 is fine. I mean, 17 is borderline. 16 is too young. 18 to me seems like, okay, you can
18,
vote.
You can vote.
You can
That's
vote
what I
and
was
you can choose
say.
Who you want to have sex with. You can vote for your president and vote for who you want to bang. That seems about right to me. I don't know about any younger than that. Just feels weird.
I completely agree with that. But again, and that's how I knew admit, because I know that there have been some pretty prominent people that have literally got off. Not that Ugh. Way, but got off of serious legal issues because they were in a state in which it was 16.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of a part of the issue. I have to watch the whole thing, but they couldn't prove, I guess, the age of the girl or who that girl was. Or I still have to watch a lot of it, but, I mean, that's just bad. That's bad that they actually even... I would, if I was, you know, into politics, I would be, and I'm not, But that would be one of the things I would be considering changing in all the states, you know what I mean? But
somebody texted the show and said, Barry, if you're going to talk about sex dungeons, maybe leave out the overhead and underhead part. I think you missed the whole...
Kind of missed why he did what he did, how he did it.
Purpose of the whole... boy.
All right, we got one segment to go on the show. Then we're going to turn over to the Blitz. Fred, AJ, John, they'll take you home till 7 o'clock on the simulcast, so you don't have to do a darn thing. It is the usual suspects. Sportsmap 94.1, ESPN 97.5. Who's best of the
Hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5. Sportsmap 94.1. We're very... football centric today, but we should at least notate there's a pretty good matchup at Toyota Center tonight.
Who's playing?
It would be the best record in the Eastern Conference.
The Bucks.
Never
Milwaukee
heard
Bucks,
of them.
Taking on your Houston Rockets.
Fear so, the deer.
Indeed.
Right?
Yes, that is one
so
of their...
So they beat the best team in the West. Now they got to beat the best team in the East.
Yeah,
record-wise.
Because it's a pretty good stretch of games for the Rockets as well, and they've been mulling through them. You mentioned it yesterday, 12 of 14. But man, I mean, they beat the Nugs, who they won last night. So Denver now again has the best record in the West, and the Rockets disposed of them. And now they take on, here's the other thing that was very interesting to me. I was not aware of. They are the highest scoring team in the NBA.
The
Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow.
I would have thought Golden State, Denver, all these teams that we mentioned, but, ESPN game. And I believe, of course, AT&T Sportsnet. But 7 o'clock, big game to see the Bucks and the Rockets.
Well, that's good, because as we start to wind down the NFL season, it starts to get less and less stuff to watch at night and talk about the next day.
I completely was thinking about that. For as much as we go with the big hot topics of football and how football carries us for so many months,
yep,
it's about to be a totally different ballgame.
Yep.
We're going to have a comedian of the day.
To do that, right?
Yes.
I saw you had a list of the power rankings in the NBA. Or was that mine?
That was yours. That was yours.
Rockets at 5 now.
Yeah.
According to CBS Sports, they've got, not surprisingly, Nuggets 1, Bucks 2, mm-hmm. Warriors 3, mm-hmm. Raptors 4, Rockets 5.
I don't disagree with any of it. Boston's still kind of up and down and roller coaster trying to figure it all out. They got all the talent in the world, but they haven't figured out how to play it. And obviously with as hot as the Rockets have been, and again, regular season, as of right now, totally agree with that.
Rockets jumped 6 from 11 to 5.
That's a big jump. Mostly because of Harden, and it's pretty impressive. I mean, there's obviously a lot of credit to be spread around, but it is pretty impressive because I remember one of the bots, I guess, or I thought was a bot, like tweeted at me, and I was like, man, please stop sending me these tweets. And then they responded saying we're not a bot, and then followed up with saying, do you still think that the Rockets would not be a top four team in the West? And I still said no. That was like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Is that Ben DeBose? No?
It wasn't, actually. Oh. But yeah, that was a nice shot take.
You're welcome.
Right there.
Yeah, that's on me. I'm owning it.
But yeah, I mean, now they're playing like a top 10 they team, are. At least but at I the
asked,
very minimum.
But I asked you guys this yesterday, and I will ask you again.
Do you think our answer has changed in 24 hours?
No, yeah, because the power rankings and everything like that. If you had to do power rankings based on how these teams are going to do in the playoffs and how far they're going to go to get to that championship-type level, are they a top-five team?
No.
I don't think so.
See, that's the kicker to me.
I don't know.
You just keep asking that.
No, I don't want to keep asking that, but I'm saying...
I don't know if they're a top-five team yet. I don't think so. In the NBA overall?
Yeah.
That's hard.
Remember, though, power rankings are week-to-week.
Yeah.
They're almost game-to-game, so... Are they playing like a top five team right now? Absolutely. When they get Chris Paul and Eric Gordon back, are they going to be a top five team? Well, it depends, because there's a lot of teams like the Sixers and the Celtics that you mentioned, yep, and the Thunder that could just maybe going through a rough stretch right now that could turn it around, that I could see beating this Rockets.
Thunder's
team.
Got the second best record in the West,
yeah,
but people are writing them off. Here's where I think they are. They're the Houston Texans right now. Now, if they trade for Demaryius Thomas, okay. But if they trade for someone more in their prime and better that can help them more, then I think they can. There's still time to elevate that between now and the trade deadline. That's why I always hold off like my final take on the team till after I see what Daryl's going to do up to the trade deadline. But for now, hey, they're doing what the Texans did in the football season. They're making a hell of a run. They got back into it. More credit to them and most credit to James Harden. And that's why, other than Richard Jefferson, most everybody is saying your two MVP candidates to this point in the season are playing tonight at Toyota Center.
Could be.
So that should be an enticing reason to watch.
The crazy thing about that list, though, about points per game and Milwaukee being number one, the Pelicans are number three, and they're like the 12th best team in the West. The Kings are number five. They're ranked 11 in the West.
Yeah.
It's crazy that they can put up all those Kings points and still lose a lot of games, you know?
For a while, the Kings were up there. They were top five.
I think it was last night they were up 19 in the first half and then got beat by about as much. Damn. So they're a young team that's going to make mistakes, but they've got some talent. But did you just see that, by the way, on ESPN?
Some dude just let a fireworks off in his penis area?
Yeah, no. he had like a, instead of like a Speedo, he had like a wrestling bottom on, so it's a little bit more full than a Speedo, and put a firecracker right next to his Jimmy and let that thing off.
There's a lot of things I'll do for attention.
Clicks.
Putting a firework in my penis area is not one of them.
Snorting chocolate's one thing.
Yeah, not happening.
Blowing your balls off is another one.
Arian's Fetus said, when I was traveling to London, a 16-year-old girl I was working with asked if I wanted to go to the pub with her and her friends. I was 36. They can drink, smoke, and get tats at 16, but they can't drive until they're 18.
From an international standpoint, I totally believe that. Like, that doesn't shock me at all. But here in the States, with the Me Too movement and the culture, it's just different. Over there, overseas, I can totally see
that. But the key word is consent. I mean, the Me Too movement is all about not getting consent.
That's true.
So if you ask a 16-year-old, hey, you want to bang? And she says, yes, in Washington State, you're good to go. Now, some people were texting and saying, I think there's a certain range. Like, if they're 17 in Texas, you have to be within 4 years of them. So you can't be like 50 banging a 17-year-old. Mm-hmm. Now, that I don't know.
That makes sense,
I don't know. But, hey, Barry, I saw Andy Huggins at the Improv on the patio. I gave him a shout-out. Talked about AGT and how much you talk about him on the radio. Yeah, man, anytime y'all see Andy out, show him some love. That's a funny dude. Barry, did you catch the guy on the news last night? Maybe you guys saw this. Did you catch the guy on the news last night that lost a wheel off his car and was chasing it down the freeway?
Yeah, I did see that. I did see that.
They said the video went viral. You should get him on your podcast.
I didn't. What the hell is this?
He didn't really become famous for it, but I mean, you could. But I just saw you literally see a tire rolling, kind of bouncing
on the highway.
I don't know if
it came off his car.
It didn't show you that part. It just literally starts. The video I saw, it starts with him chasing a tire on a highway.
Has that ever happened to y'all? Or you lost a wheel on your car?
No.
That happened to me.
I will say I almost caused somebody else's wheel to
come off.
Yeah.
I was working in Sharpstown Mall. I was in high school. All right. So I used to live in where I was just telling you about, like Jersey Village area, 290, Winfern. I would drive to Sharpstown Mall to work at the Journeys. Well, on the way home one day, my car was vibrating really crazy, like, and I couldn't figure it out. I got out. I walked around. I didn't see anything going on. I get back in, and the faster I go, the harder the vibration is. I don't know what the hell's going on. I can't figure it out. I slow way down, and as I'm almost home, and there's this railroad tracks you have to go across, and I'm going about 35 miles an hour. Car's just vibrating like hell. I hit that railroad track, and as I come down, the right side of my car, the front right, just buckles to the ground. I was like, what the bleep? And I kind of skid off to the side of the road, and I come to a stop. And as I'm sitting there wondering what the hell just happened, my tire just slowly rolls past me on the right side of me.
You're really lucky that axle didn't catch on the railroad track.
It was the freakiest thing. I've never had my tire literally passed me, and I was just like, well, I guess I know what the vibration was. Apparently, like, the lug nuts were loose on my car. Yeah. It snapped off.
It's actually common. You know who that happened to a long time ago?
How do they come? That's weird that they would just
Sometimes they probably didn't. They didn't torque it right.
Okay.
But yeah, John Lucas's son, I'll never forget. This is like probably 10 years ago. But he had like a Dodge Durango, and he had like these new chrome wheels that he put on them. They were like 20s or 22s or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And that front right one just... like, it was either Discount or some tire company that didn't torque the lug nuts right or didn't tighten them at all.
Man.
So he brings the Durango on a flatbed to my dad's mechanic shop, and we had to fix it. Yeah, I will never forget that. So it's actually quite common.
That has to do some serious damage to that axle and everything when it hits.
It absolutely could.
I got lucky. I think I just had to replace like the rotors and that whole thing, but the axle was fine, but damn.
Axle would be a really bad scenario.
Yeah, it would.
But yeah.
Do we want to get these or?
Sure.
We're running low on time. So Clarence, you are on the clock today. You got to go.
Hey, Happy New Year, fella.
This is Fort Worth, Jay. My bad. This is Fort Worth, Jay.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, listen. You know I had to eat crow because I said we wasn't in the first round. And I didn't believe in Dak, and I've been called all kinds of Benedict Arnolds and all this because retarded Cowboys fans feel like you can't criticize the Cowboys. But I was mad that the Bears lost. But think about this, though. If New Orleans beats Philly and we beat Rams, you're going to have the Saints versus Cowboys NFC Championship. Houston would be lit. I think that would be great for the city, for all three cities, actually. But I just hang up.
I don't think many Houstonians are going to think that's anywhere near fun. But
there are, well, I mean, I guess his point is there's a lot of Saints and Cowboys fans in town. And that's true. There is. Speaking of, Clarence is on the phone. He wants to talk R. Kelly. Clarence, man, we're up against this, so you got to hurry, bud. Sorry.
Yeah, R. Kelly is a piece of crap. But here's the thing. Besides the Tom Joyner Morning Show and Spotify, people are still playing his music. Apple Music, Pandora, any other music station, anything, they're still playing his music. So, and like I just said, that his music spiked in sales because of the documentary. I know everybody wants to raise awareness about it, and I'm all for that. But if you want to stop that piece of garbage, just stop saying all his music, everywhere, period. Who that?
There you go. Appreciate the call, Clarence. Thank you to everybody that called today. You got him in.
This ought to wrap up our conversation from the first segment, bring it full circle. They're showing a halftime performance during a Bucks game in Milwaukee. Get ready for it, Barry. The man balances ladders on his chin and body parts. That's talent in the Midwest, buddy.
Wow.
Yep.
Nice.
Hope you see some guys like that walking down the street. Get them some tickets to your show.
Yeah. Right.
That's Wednesday for you. We got one more day as the full unit. Then Barry heads off to the Great White North on Friday, and we'll continue to roll on. So for Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody, and we will talk to you again tomorrow. The Blitz is next right here, SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.